Idris, the title of your new play, The Girl from Crete Falls, there's a great pun in there. But tell me a little bit about the play, just to start off.
Sure. It began with the myth of Icarus, which is something I've always been interested in and always wanted to turn into a play. And so The Girl from Crete Falls is a very loose, lyrical reinterpretation, modern reimagining, if you will, of the myth of Icarus, just the rise and fall, youthful ambition theme. And so it's not like a super moment-to-moment adaptation of Icarus, so it stands on its own, I believe. So even if you're not familiar with it, you'll still find something in it. If you are familiar with it, there are little allusions and little nods to it. And so the title is, you know, is sort of the first allusion to it. But my story really focuses on a young woman named Iris. She's 21. She just got out of college, super smart, super ambitious. And she gets this great job, this great entry-level position at like a renewable energies company called Minos International. And basically, we're watching her try to strive to the top of this corporation by any means necessary. Of course, ultimately, she is crushed by the weight of her own ambition.
When I first started reading it, one of the things that struck me was, why did you choose a renewable energy company? I mean, I sort of thought about Ralph Ellison a little bit, you know, thinking about the, just sort of the metaphor of power. Mm. But I was like, this is an interesting choice. And so why did you?
You know, the reason I chose a renewable energies company was that to me that seemed, I don't know, it just seemed like of this moment, of this time. It seems like that's in the zeitgeist, if you will. Like that's where a lot of big and large investments are going. And it's sort of the buzz corporation kind of, you know, idea of the moment is that like the big corporations in this country that we've, you know, have typically been written about or created in American literature, you know, that whole culture around that, that factory culture is all gone. And so really the big companies now are the Googles and the Apples and the Facebooks and all of that. And so, yeah, I just wanted to do something that felt more of this moment. I wanted to try to explore a different kind of corporate milieu that is, of course, still corporate, but is not the sort of traditional, like, you know, Riley, get in my office. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then also, too, just thinking about, you know, like what would the sun be represented by? Like, mm-hmm. what is the sun, you know, for this young woman? If the metaphor is that, you know, this is about someone who is working their way up a corporate ladder, then what is at the top of it?
Yeah, and I think that it's often shocking to see the present placed within a classical metaphor, mm-hmm. to see, you know, renewable energy as the new metaphor for this ancient myth. It's like, do these myths still live with us, even mm-hmm. in these ultra contemporary things that I think we often overlook because they're too close to our faces here mm-hmm. in the present, you know?
Mm-hmm. What really drew me to it is also we have so much power right now as young people. I think about like, you know, all the articles about the millennials and what's going to happen to them and all that. And, you know, and in teaching at Colorado College too, it's like these are really brilliant, very bright young people, many of them from great means and great privilege, who want to go out and do great things. And they're equipped with everything. I mean, just like unlimited communication possibilities, you know, all these resources. And so the question then becomes, it's like, what do we do with it? Like, what do you do with all this power that's just like literally in your fingertips? And that's the piece from Icarus that I thought was interesting, too, is that Icarus's father is this inventor. He's this technological wizard. He built the maze that trapped the Minotaur, all this kind of stuff. And he builds the wings for him and his son to get out, you know. And so it got me thinking, too, about just, you know, access to technology. And it's Icarus's first time with these wings, you know. And he's going up, he's going out, and he's overwhelmed by this possibility. And so that's what was on my mind as well. Just thinking about this particular moment and, you know, and also just looking at all of these like young celebrities that are like wilding out, you know what I mean? And everyone's like, you know, there's all these articles about like Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber and all this stuff. But it's like, well, they're 18 or 19, they're millionaires. They have unlimited access to whatever they want. And it's like, are they going to go and like build, you know, wells in Africa, or are they just going to like do a lot of Molly and like, you know what I mean? Wild out. So I was just interested. So to me, it's like, I love the myth because it's always resonant and it's simple. It's a short myth. And, you know, it's in all of us. We all have that thing where we're like, we know something is bad for us it's like kind of good for us, but we love it so much that we want to, like, we go past the point that we're supposed to, you know?
Yep.
We always want one more. We always want one more round. We always want, like, one more piece of cake. You know, we just, we always, you know, we want to go after that person that we know is bad for us. It's in all of us. And I'm really just fascinated. Like, what is that? You know, what is that in us that makes us want to, like, go past the lines that we're supposed to?
And it was always a cautionary tale. I mean,
yeah.
And that's the other thing, I guess, that struck me as sort of strange. Like, it's like, oh, well, you know, all, we hear all this stuff about, like, we need renewable energy. We need all these, you know, we need the future. And yet it's a cautionary tale, even in your play about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, anytime you're dealing with a quest to harness power, you know, to be able to control power in some way, there is, of course, the threat that it could, you know, ultimately destroy you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing, you know, that was really interesting to me, too, is just that line in technology of, like, it can be a savior or it can be your demise. And then just thinking about, too, just the amount of investment in this moment that goes into this renewables energy. But then there are all these detractors who say, like, you know, the amount of solar panels you would need or the amount of wind turbines you would need or the amount of this is actually going to be detrimental. You know, in order for it to have any real impact, we're going to have to do so much of it that it's going to be a detriment in this other way and in this negative way. And
it's going to slow the wind down.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. So I wanted to kind of play around in that you know, and also learn a little bit more about it, too. I mean, that's the fun thing about being a writer, right, is like, you know, or a radio journalist or whatever, is that you follow your curiosities and you end up learning a lot more, too, you know.
How do you think about art? Do you have expectations or hopes for it in terms of changing people's minds or changing people's hearts? It's something I think that every artist thinks about when they are getting ready to put something out. Like, what is this thing going to be or do in the world?
Well, it changes for me. You know, when I started out, when I was in my hip hop groups, you know, and all everything, it was completely about me. It was about what I needed to say, what I needed to work out and exercise. And then, you know, as I got a little older and started getting more into spoken word and kind of more socio-political minded work, it was much more about awareness, about commentary, about the conversation, about empowerment. And that's still a lane that I travel in. But I'm also, as of late, really interested in trying to really move people in not in an intellectual way, but to move them physically first, you know, to create a physical response to work, to have a physical response first, to explore what does it mean to be moved? What does it mean to move someone? That's kind of where I'm at these days. So who knows? And you know, and next year I might come on and be like, money, I'm interested in money. No, I'm trying to get paid. So I don't know.
Idris Goodwin, always a pleasure.
Thanks, sir.